It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a
Josh Cohen and home team.
You're listening to Josh Cohen and the home team, presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge for eats, drinks, and scenic views. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every single day above ground is a good day, it is the home team on a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Eats, drinks, scenic views. 29 degree beer, your official UFC fight headquarters, Twin Peaks. Home team is in semi-full effect. Dean Thomas remains out west, parts unknown. Tina is here. You're dressed up today. You're looking a little stylish. If people are not checking us out on YouTube, if you're not on our YouTube channel, go on YouTube, punch in ESPN West Palm. Check out our ESPN West Palm Play channel. We're streaming live. You can see Tina's outfit. Can we get a one shot on her? Can we get an isolation shot on Tina? You're very stylish off the shoulders today. What's going on?
I didn't really actually know if this shirt was appropriate for work today.
It
but
is.
But I really wanted to wear out. I
stylish.
Thank you.
And yesterday you wore a little dress too.
I did. What's wear going a dress on? Yesterday. Well, you know, last week.
Are you
on
crushing
the show,
on coworkers again?
No. Last week,
boy.
I was looking like a bum. A bit. Remember,
no.
Last week,
no.
My hair was very greasy,
no.
Like slicked back. I had on a hoodie.
That wasn't last week. That was last year.
That was last week.
Meaning all of last year.
Yeah.
Meaning the last 52 weeks.
I was like, you know, last week I really slacked on the, you know, trying to look decent.
Are
on
you
camera.
Crushing on coworkers again?
No, I just needed to. I want to look good on camera. You know, it makes me feel good. Again, look good, feel good, perform good.
Right.
So right. I really slacked last week. So this week I went up a notch.
Problem is, C-Cat, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, I clearly wear a shirt that is to get attention and to get people talking about it. And you open the show talking about somebody else's outfit.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get to you.
He is
I'm
going
to get to you. Relax, you big baby. I'm going to get to you. Problem is, Tina said, look good.
Feel good.
Right?
Perform good.
Right. So the thing is, you look good right now. But now you're setting the bar to perform good.
Yeah.
And now you have an expectation you have to meet. You never should have said that. Because now you look good, you admit you feel good. And so if you don't perform good, well, then there goes your theory.
There goes my theory. But I also, I perform good in my other role that I have here at ESPN.
No one cares about that.
I know.
Literally, no one here knows anything else that you do.
Besides this.
This is a show that is consumed live by thousands of people. And is also consumed after we're done via podcast by dozens of people.
Mm-hmm.
You heard what I said.
Dozens.
We got to work on our podcast numbers from what I saw. If you've not yet subscribed to Josh Cohen and the Home Team, the podcast, please do that. Wherever you get your podcast, just punch it in the search bar. It is downloaded, or uploaded rather, minutes after we're done. Hour one, hour two, separated. Commercial breaks are cut out. And it's a streamlined, pause it, rewind it, listen when and where you want. But we got to work on our podcast distribution, because we never talk about it. We never promote it.
Yeah.
Lord knows you don't share anything on your social media.
Yes,
download,
I
subscribe.
Do.
You never
all
do.
All the time.
Only cute pictures of yourself.
I share it all the time.
Only cute pictures of yourself. C-Cat is back from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Was there a boy band reunion?
No boy band reunion.
Did you hear Gasolina in the airport or in an Uber or anywhere on the island that is?
No, my first flight was delayed 3 hours, so I was annoyed getting to the Puerto Rican airport.
Yes.
And I was annoyed leaving the Puerto Rican airport.
And where do you go? San Juan?
Old San Juan. Sure,
yeah.
Did.
Can you see C-Cat traveling in cargo shorts and flip-flops?
Yes.
I don't mean slides.
No,
I mean like when Old Navy does their 4th of July sale and all flip-flops are a dollar. That's what I see you flying.
They still do that? But I remember that was a big deal 10 years ago.
How excited he is.
They still do that.
Oh, wow.
Nobody loved Old Navy more than me. Nobody.
I still love Old Navy.
But nobody once upon a time.
Oh, okay.
You probably do now more.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody at one point in time loved Old Navy more than I did.
Was it for the button-downs, the plaid button-downs
you used
to wear?
No, just flat T-shirts.
Oh, okay.
T-shirts and shorts. That's it, man. T-shirts and shorts.
Yeah, exactly. The shorts. I was there all the time for the shorts.
We got big stuff happening in sport. We got controversy and scandal. We got ourselves a situation that continues in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani, baseball's biggest star. The highest paid player in not just baseball history, the highest paid player in North American sports history, recently signing a contract in this offseason for over $700 million.
Goodness.
That's 0.7 billion. As you know, the story broke last week. His close friend, confidant, and personal interpreter gave conflicting reports when being questioned about his involvement in an illegal bookmaking operation in Orange County, California. He, the former assistant slash translator slash confidant of Shohei Ohtani, initially reported that he got himself in trouble with major gambling debts upwards of $4.5 million, and that he confided in Shohei Ohtani, who agreed to help pay those debts off for him, making wire transfers from his bank account to the bookmaking operation. Then, the next day, the same Ohtani spokesperson and the same now former translator said, no, that's not the case. That's not what happened. You see, what happened was I actually did this without Shohei knowing. He had no knowledge. He had no idea whatsoever. Well, we talked about it last Thursday. We were live on location, C-Cat and I did. And I kind of treated this like trial law, where you're just putting out the facts as they are indisputable, as they are undeniable, because we're establishing here who said what and when they said it. And then from there, we can work by process of elimination to identify what just can't make sense because it's a conflict, and what just doesn't perhaps make sense. And what we pointed out, and it remains a problem, is that according to the timeline, first of all, he gave conflicting reports about what happened.
Yes.
And second of all, in doing that, it would not explain why the two of them were still in the dugout together, smiling, laughing, joking, coexisting at a time in which it would have been privy to Mr. Ohtani that the aforementioned translator, assistant, had falsely accused him and or admitted to stealing funds. It just wouldn't make sense if that were to be the case. Shohei Ohtani spoke yesterday. He had a new translator beside him. He read from a statement. He spoke then. He did not open himself up to questions and answers, although there was Japanese media in attendance, and it did appear that something did get asked. Take a listen, though, to the opening statement. Shohei Ohtani and his translator, the new translator, from yesterday late afternoon.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for coming. I wanted to be here today to be able to talk. I'm sure it was very tough. It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient in this process. Just on a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
So there's the initial kind of welcome opening statement. Let's continue on. Some of this obviously will be in Japanese. And then, of course, the translation in English. Continue.
So obviously, today there's things that I'm limited in being able to talk about. I hope you understand. I do have a document in front of me that I will refer to that will detail what has happened.
All right. So spelling out, basically, I'm going to read from this. There's only so much I can discuss. And then because there's an investigation happening,
yes,
a criminal investigation, as well as obviously a Major League Baseball investigation now into Ohtani's involvement. Continue.
So Ippei never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ippei told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt.
で、その翌日にさらに尋問で一平さんは、僕たちの代理人に対して、借金は自分のもの、つまり一平さん自身が作ったものだということを、説明しました。
Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt.
で、それを僕が、まあ、肩代わりしたという話を、その時に代理人に話したそうです。
And told my representatives that I was paying off those debt.
そしてこれらは全く、全てが嘘だったということですね。
And this all of this has been a complete lie.
So let's pause right there. Okay, we're not going to play trial law here. But what we've got is a situation in which someone very close to Shohei Ohtani is now coming up in question during an investigation. Reporter notices this and says, hold on, wait a second, and then asks to speak to that individual. Is the translator dumb enough to think, well, if I participate, word won't get back? Or, I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? Or is it a case of, well, no, you kind of have to. This is your deal, because otherwise the whole house of cards is going to collapse on us. Tina, hearing just that much thus far, you think what about this whole fiasco?
You really don't know what's true. Like, the only people who have done this, like, know the truth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have no idea what to believe, because one thing said one day, one thing said the next day.
Why would you have an official representative with you give one answer and then come back the next day and totally change your story? It's one thing if the accused party does that, but it's another thing entirely different if the spokesperson or the official representing Ohtani has one statement one day and a different statement the next. Then it becomes very problematic.
Did he think that if he said that Ohtani helped him pay it off, that he wouldn't get in trouble? And then he realized oh crap, I can't, he's still involved?
No. The reason that you would say Ohtani paid it off, there's two reasons for that. Either A, because, well, you're telling the truth. Or B, because you're covering for Ohtani. Those are the only two options that would exist for implicating Shohei Ohtani as the one sending the wire transfers. Keep in mind, bank transfers arrived, and this obviously seized by the federal government, the receipts of the bank transmissions. The wire show them coming from the account of Shohei Ohtani.
But that's what I'm saying. So
you can't dispute whether or not money came from Ohtani to the bookmaking operation. You can only question, and you can only contend, that those transmissions were made without his knowledge and or consent.
That's what I'm saying. Did he tell the truth?
When you say he, translator?
Translator.
Or Ohtani?
Translator.
Yes, did he what?
If he is telling the truth about Ohtani helping.
If he's telling the truth, then why did he change his story the next day?
Because that's what I'm thinking of. He told the truth thinking that, Ohtani won't get in trouble if I tell, how he helped me out. And then, realizing, oh, crap, he is still going to get in trouble. So now I have to change my story that I took the money from him.
Right. So again, C-Cat, you pointed this out when you and I got into this on Thursday with the two statements that were provided, and they are conflicting of one another. Either of them are feasible. Both of them are stupid. Meaning that why in the world is anyone transferring $500,000 from person to person on bank wires for illegal activities? First of all, even if you do it just as a gift, it's still getting red flagged by the bank, mm-hmm. and the government's paying attention. Just so you know, those kinds of amounts happening digitally, they're on the screen. We've got lots of folks that are aware of your banking when you do stuff like that. But as you pointed out, based only on the initial statement and then the second day, the change of course, we know one thing for sure. One of them can't be true.
Exactly. And I think that you always say how just humans in general don't want to lie. It goes against what they in their brain, in their heart, they don't want to lie.
Human beings do not want to lie. It is our default setting to not want to.
Yeah.
But we are more than willing to,
absolutely.
As we often do.
And this guy, Ipe, the translator who apparently the second story is that he stole money from Shohei, I think what it sounds like is he told the truth the first time and then didn't realize he was leaving his best buddy, his friend, his confidant, Ohtani, wide open for ridicule and legal proceedings.
So yes. What you're saying is translator lied on statement two.
Yep.
Again, I'm not asking you to play the game of guess what, guess who, but you're doing that. You're getting ahead of it. So let's go find and do that. So now you're accusing Ohtani of lying. You're saying that basically what we just heard from him thus far is an absolute lie.
Yes, I yes, it is.
He's lying. He's lying. Ohtani is lying to law enforcement, the New York Dodgers, excuse me, the New York Dodgers, the LA Dodgers, and to the media, and to all involved.
Yep, he met with his lawyers. The lawyer said, this is what can be proven. This is okay. What cannot be. This is your story.
We weren't at that part of the conversation and the topic yet, but you're getting ahead of us. Okay, then if you say that statement two is not correct, then you are saying that everything Ohtani is saying is also incorrect. And not just incorrect, because there's a difference, Tina, between disinformation and misinformation. And I've taught you this before. We've talked about this on this show many times.
Many.
What is the difference between disinformation and misinformation?
Misinformation is completely like wrong information.
You just got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
Okay. What's disinformation?
Is it like kind of like a fib? Like it's not fully
You're confusing deception and deceit. You're confusing
There's
deception and deceit.
There's too many things that you've tried to teach me on this show. Like I got misinformation, right? So that's a
You know who's
star.
Failed? You know who's failed? You know, it's me, because again, we've been over this how many times? You said how many times I tried to teach you this?
Hundreds.
So I failed you, and I want to apologize to you. Miss and dis are two different things, right?
Disavoiding it?
Misinformation is different from disinformation. I can tell by C-Cat's eye movement with his nonverbals that he's thinking about this, and he's thinking about how to phrase it in case I call on him. Is what I just said true, C-Cat?
No, my eye movement was Tina using the word disavoiding it. I don't really know what that word means.
No, I meant like you're like the disinformation is like you're avoiding.
No part of your eye movement had to do with you thinking how you were going to phrase what you're about to say.
No, I think I know what is disinformation.
I didn't ask you. I asked what your eye movement was.
No, it was all directed towards Tina. Yeah.
He was thinking about what he was going to say.
It's like, Tina, what are you saying right now?
Tina, when we have a mistake, what is that?
We did something wrong.
Right. But it's an accident.
It's a mistake, yeah.
A mistake.
Yeah.
Misinformation. You missed. You got it wrong.
Yes.
Got it wrong. Disinformation is information that is wrong with the intent intentionally to send that out. So oftentimes people utilize the phrase fake news because they're attempting to utilize that as a ploy of disinformation. Misinformation is me saying, they won the World Series in 1995, I'm pretty sure. And disinformation is knowing that they didn't, but saying it anyway on purpose.
Okay.
So we got a difference between misinformation and disinformation. As it applies here, well, when the interpreter gave two different stories, it's important to note which one came first. The first story was, I have a gambling issue, a problem. I got in deep. I had to tell Ohtani about it. He was very disappointed in me. He helped me. He helped me wire money from his account to their account to help me pay off this debt. He did not want to give me the money because he did not trust me with it. He was afraid what I might do with it. So he helped me with that. Okay. Statement two was, I lied. That's not true. He didn't help me. I took the money from his account. I did it myself. They are both as likely to be the actual explanation as they're not. And they're equally likely as opposed to not being likely. Which one came first? Because if the order were different, if the order were reversed, if it was a case of I stole money from his account, and you came back the next day and say, actually, no, I didn't. He knew about it. He helped me. That'd be plausible. Mm-hmm. Every bit as plausible as this way. But it comes down to the intent. What is the intent here? When the translator came into the question of, hold on a second, what is going on here? We've got $500,000 cash wire transfers into a bookmaking operation coming from not just a Major League Baseball player, but the global international name, face, and brand of baseball. The biggest star in the game, the highest paid star in the game. So then you come into the idea of, well, what's more likely? What's more likely? That Ohtani was dumb enough to think that you could send $500,000 wires without anybody noticing? That's pretty dumb, mm-hmm. When you say. I mean, that's pretty stupid. The likelihood of the translator having access to his accounts. Like, if I want to wire money from my bank account, I'm at being asked all kinds of stuff. Like, here comes a text message. Confirm it. Yeah. Send me the code back. Mm-hmm. Here's a security question. I would imagine, you know, I've never sent a wire for $500,000. Mostly because I've never had at one time $500,000.
Yeah.
To send, you know, it just hasn't existed. In my, sorry folks, if you're disappointed. The problem now is that baseball has to investigate something it doesn't want to. And baseball's in a bad spot. And Ohtani's in a bad spot. And his translator's in a bad spot. Is this a cover-up to protect Shohei Ohtani? And if so, how then do you explain that he was able, the translator, to hack into, to access the banking, to be able to send that, which, by the way, is still very plausible. They're creating plausible deniability in several of these instances. The order in which explanations came is significant here. The fact that the stories conflict is always what it's about. Always. People get caught in life because of inconsistencies in their stories. People get caught cheating on their husbands and wives because of inconsistencies. People get caught for mistakes in the workplace because of inconsistencies. People get caught in criminal endeavors, whether it is bookmaking or sending money to a bookmaker or to running a drug smuggling and distribution network. Inconsistencies. And I said it before, I've said it many times. There's an old expression that if you're telling the truth, there's nothing to remember. If you're telling the truth, there's nothing to remember. When the cop pulls you aside and says, tell me what happened. And you see what happened was, and you tell the story. Sometimes then they will say, okay, I understand completely, but do me a favor, because maybe it's just me. Tell me, but start at the end of the day and then work to the beginning of your day. Just basically, I know you said that at the end of the night you went, but do me a favor, start at the end of your and go the other way. People have a difficult time remembering their lies in reverse. Mm-hmm. They remember as they laid it out, but if you're telling the truth, there's nothing to remember. We're not done yet with Shohei Ohtani. He continues on with the idea of, well, it's time to play baseball.
So to summarize how I'm feeling right now, I'm just beyond shocked. It's really hard to verbalize how I am feeling at this point.
ただもうシーズンも本格的にスタートするので、ここからは弁護士の方々にもお任せしますし、僕自身も警察当局の協力に全面的に協力したいなと思ってます。
And the season's going to start, so I'm going to obviously let my lawyers handle matters from here on out, and I am completely assisting in all investigations that are taking place right now.
I am cooperating and assisting in the investigations that are taking place. That's all you can say. That's all you can do. Something here is not right. Right?
Right, yes.
Two explanations were offered. One obviously conflicting significantly with the other. Ohtani saying the second one is true. He's telling you the truth. The man just told you. He just told you he stole from me, that I didn't know about it at all. Listen to him. See, Kat, you're not buying that.
No, it seems like everyone in the situation stands to gain with Ohtani coming out of here scot-free. It just seems like everyone, including Major League Baseball,
of course,
who is doing the investigating. Of course Ohtani does.
Of course.
Of course, the interpreter does. I mean, if this second story ends up being true.
Well, no, he doesn't benefit from grand theft of $4.5 million in wire fraud. No, he doesn't benefit.
Okay, well, he won't be really taken to task as hard as he would in this situation than outside of the situation, in my opinion. Because what isn't.
Hold on. Please explain what you mean by that.
Would it be on to Shohei to press charges and really go after him?
We don't know that.
Okay.
And by the way, it may not be upon Shohei Ohtani. Maybe on the state of California, federal government. Who knows?
And then I'll table that conversation
Please.
For when we have more information to it.
But Good
everyone
idea.
Outside of Ipe, the interpreter, stands to gain from Shohei getting out of the situation, putting it behind him, and saying that's a crazy thing that happened back in 2024. It's not going to change anything going forward.
But just because it would be the prettiest outcome, the most convenient outcome, does not mean that that is the one that is the lie.
We're going to turn over the rocks. We're going to find out more details. And if it is avoidable, it will be avoided.
But you understand that just because that would be the best case scenario for baseball, the Dodgers, and Otani, does not mean that that is the one that is fictionalized. You understand that?
Yes, okay. I understand that.
Just making sure the ladies and the gentlemen of the jury are aware that Mr. Cat is claiming that this has to be the lie because it's the one that works out best. And that's not the case.
No, it might not be the case. Maybe it is the case. We don't know exactly yet.
We only know that one of the two counts provided by Ipe, the translator, is not true. And we know that because he gave two separate accounts.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that either are the truth. You understand, Tina?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a case of which of those is true. It's a case of which of these two is not true. I'm working process of elimination. I like to narrow down what it can't be, what it can't be, what it can't be, what it's not, because the facts are this, and they are indisputable, and they are undeniable. Bank transfers, $500,000, multiples of them, sent from Shohei Ohtani's personal bank account to the bookmaking operation. And that is all that we know for certain right now. We know that Mr. Ohtani claims that he was stolen from. Doesn't mean it's true. We know that Mr. Ipe claims that he stole the money. Doesn't mean it's true. You say, wait a minute, JC. If the man's telling you I stole from him, and the other man is saying he's right, he stole from me, doesn't that mean they're telling the truth? No.
No.
That does not mean that they are both telling the truth. Either they're both telling the truth or they're both lying. But we can't differentiate that just yet. We can't do that right now. Tina, you look like you have something you want to say.
Because this is what
Where do babies come from?
No. That's a question.
It's a different conversation.
Different conversation.
You seem like you had a question.
No questions. This is, can I say what I think happened?
Sure, why not?
Seacat already did. So
yeah, I know. Kind of ruined the segment.
So my turn.
Yeah. It's good to have him back, though.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Good to have you back, Seacat.
Great prompt you gave me to give my opinion on the matter, and that's what I gave you, my opinion on the matter.
No, I get that, and I probably should have been like, hold on, don't give judgment just yet, but go ahead. Everybody's in a rush to play whodunit.
I can wait.
No, go ahead.
I think Ipe, that's the interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ipe admitted, like, I have a problem, I'm in some debt, to his friend, Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Ohtani just tried to be a good friend and help him out.
Right.
And help pay off his debt and not realizing, like, just trying to be a good friend that, like, I can't do this.
So you believe that the translator was telling the truth in the beginning.
Yes.
And then they said, you idiot, you're implicating Ohtani. Now he's going to be in major trouble with baseball. He's got a major problem. And they say, you better go out there and lie and say you stole it.
Yes, because
it's a very common belief.
Yes, I'm yes. sure. Because again, like
what it means is you're not the only one that feels this way. A lot of people agree with you.
And you said, like, it's wiring that much money, like, that takes a lot of information. And I don't know if even your best friend would know that information.
But even if they do, like, here's what I need to know. I need the state of California to please let me be privy to disclosure in this case. I need to know what device was utilized. Was it a device that is a mobile device? Was it a device that is a wired? Is it a computer? Was it on paper, on a bank slip? Was it done? No. There's different ways to wire money, you understand? Mm. And on that, I need to know, what device did it come from? The IP address associated with the Wi-Fi network? Was it someone's phone? Was it somebody's tablet? Did Ipe, the translator, have access to that device? We're not talking about sending Venmos.
No.
Cash App.
No.
We're talking about $500,000 on multiple occasions. And it does not matter how much is in your account. It doesn't matter if you've got $501,000 in the account or if you've got $5 billion. A $500,000 transfer from an individual to an individual is going to be a problem. Because the bank red flag goes up, that gets reported, the IRS is paying attention, Homeland Security's paying attention, everybody's paying attention. You got to be pretty stupid or desperate to do it.
Yes.
Did Ipe, if in fact that is the case, where he did hack and steal and send as he claims, did he do that out of fear for his life and safety? Fear that he would be exposed and lose his job, his career? or because he was so sick with the addiction, he was willing to do whatever it took to be able to get action. And don't discount that.
That's a good point.
I'm saying don't discount that.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there where it's like, I got to find a way to get this in no matter what, because the idea of not winning is worse. Like being right on a play or a game and not being able to get it in, that disgusting, sickening feeling is worse than actually losing the bet itself. That's sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, actually, no, here's the quick summary. Let's recap the summary. This is basically the gist of it, because this went on for a little bit, and then Otani, through the new translator, is going to explain, just, if you will, the cliff notes, the abridged version of the summary of this situation, according to Shohei Otani. Listen.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
まあ本当に数日前まで、まあ彼が、そういうことをしていたっていうのも、まあ、全く知りませんでした。
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening.
まあ結論から言うと、彼がまあ僕の、口座からお金を、盗んで、なおかつ、まあみんな、僕の周りもそうですね、みんなに、まあ嘘をついていたっていうのが、まあ結論から言うとそういうことになります。
Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. A good part of that I understood perfectly, and then part of that obviously I didn't understand very well. The Japanese I understood perfectly.
Oh, okay.
The translator's English is a little spotty.
Yeah.
Talks like a little bit like Sea Cat, where you don't, you know. What are you saying, dude?
Where do you think
the Japanese understood perfectly, Ichiban.
I think the interview process for this new interpreter, I think there had to be one question in there, had to be included, like, do you gamble on sports?
I would imagine that there was more background than that. I would imagine there was more background involved with that. I would imagine there was. If I were a trial attorney, and it certainly seems that way sometimes, does it not?
Yeah.
I would note two things in the initial statement, in just the very beginning. Let's listen to the very beginning of that summary one more time. Tell me what you notice you hear him say and what is absent from that. Again, semantics.
First of all, thank you very much for coming. I wanted to be here today to be able to talk. I'm sure it was very tough. It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient.
It's not the summary. The summary you just heard.
No, the open.
The opening of the summary. What we just listened to. Listen very closely to the opening part of the summary. Here we go.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf, and I have never went through a bookmaker.
Stop it right there. He covered the three aspects, Tina. Why is that so important? What did he say there? I've never bet on sports. Never asked somebody to on my behalf, and
never gone through a bookmaker.
Never went through a bookmaker. So that would cover the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That would cover the three ways you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he said, I never bet on sports, and I never went through a bookmaker. Well, you left out the fact that you could have had somebody do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you said, I never had anybody bet on sports for me, and I went through a bookmaker. Well, then you left something out there. And also, you know, you personally, like, he covered all three of those bases. Very important there.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know. The last word on this comes from Tim Kirkjian, who is Mr. Baseball and has been for 40-some years, ESPN's and Hall of Fame sports writer. Tim Kirkjian, listen to what he said about what to believe in all this.
This is one of the most confusing, confounding, surprising stories that I've ever covered in 45 years of covering baseball. And we got a little bit more clarity on it today, but I've never seen a story switch as big as it did from one day to the next between the interpreter and Shohei. So at least he came out and clarified a few things. I had nothing to do with betting. Now we have to decide, are we going to believe him? I'm going to believe him based on what I saw today, but we still have a lot more information to come out. We still have a lot more questions to be asked.
This is going to be fascinating. This whole thing's going to be fascinating. And I know that you say, wait a minute, you know, this is scandalous. It is, but it's not nearly as scandalous as what we got when we come back, because this is potentially tremendously more explosive and damaging and might just change everything. And yes, it involves sports betting and involves a scandal that is just now starting to crack. Tina tells us all about it. We come back. First, though, Tina tells us about Celsius. She loves that place. She loves that spot. She loves that Celsius essential energy drink. She lives fit.
Oh, I love Celsius so much. Just part of my daily routine. Have a Celsius in the morning.
What flavor do you have today?
Peach vibe.
Peach vibe.
I like peach vibe. Yep. I like all the vibes. And Celsius just gives me all the good vibes, all the positive vibes. Again, gets me through the gym or have one during the day to get me through the workday. Celsius is my go-to energy drink.
Is it good stuff in it?
Has all the good stuff
in it. Is there a lot of calories in it?
10 calories.
Is there a lot of sugar in it?
No sugar.
Where do I get it?
Any retailer has Celsius.
Is there a lot of flavors?
There are so many flavors.
What if I can't have a can on me because I'm flying today? Is there a way for me to have Celsius I can travel with?
Yes, there's on-the-go powder sticks. I've got like every box at my house right now. Again, if I want to
Celsius. Great idea.
Such a great idea. You put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, put it in your bag, whatever you want. Travel with it. You can have Celsius whenever you want, wherever you want with the on-go powder sticks. Celsius essential energy drink.
Speaking of gambling scandals, this one is potentially way more explosive. Tina tells us all about it. It's the home team on ESPN 106.3.
You're listening to Josh Cohen and the Home Team, presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge for eats, drinks, and scenic views. This is ESPN 106.3.
On a Twin Peaks Tuesday, it is JC and the HT for the ride home. Because every day above ground is a good day. Subscribe to our podcast. It's free. Wherever you get your podcasts. It won't take up any of your storage. Don't worry. Show's broken up in hours 1 and 2. And commercial breaks are cut out. Plus, we're going to add something to the podcast. Tina every day is going to be adding, whether she's on the show or not. Embedded into the podcast is going to be Tina Turns Back Time. Tina reads her Facebook status from when she was a little girl. Who was in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, no business being on Facebook.
No business being on Facebook. All of these are going to be from when I was in middle school or probably 9th grade. They are so cringy.
Yeah, we're going to get yours today as a sample to motivate people to subscribe to the podcast for free. Remember, listen to this show on any smart speaker. Google, home speakers, Alexa's, Dot, Alexa... Echo shows, whatever device you got, just say play ESPN West Palm and you're with us and we're with you. That's live. You can tell it. Or you can tell it to play the podcast and it will do that also. How cool is that? Speaking of cool, everything that you'd want to buy, to sip, to taste, to do, is under one roof. It's the Gardens Mall, PGA Boulevard, Palm Beach Gardens.
The Gardens Mall is the coolest.
It is the coolest.
And again, everything on order. You need furniture. You need sneakers. You need clothes. You need light bites. You
want to
go. They don't have this. I told you yesterday. They don't have a store there yet for that.
Damn it.
So you're out of luck there. But if you're going shopping throughout the day, you can go to a restaurant and have some food, have some drinks if you want. The Marlin Bar at Tommy Bahama or Cooper's Hawk. But this year, they have so many new restaurants and stores coming to the Gardens Mall. You can check it out at thegardensmall.com. I-95 East and PJ Boulevard, the Garden Mall, is the premier shopping destination in Palm Beach County.
Great job, spicy, sassy, tiny Tina. That's Dean Thomas has the day off, and by day off, I mean basically, again, whatever. He claims he's going to call him at some point. He's busy. He's making movies, I guess.
I think so.
Is he making movies? Is that what he said?
I heard he was making movies. He never actually told me he was making movies.
No.
Well, I just got that he was going out of, he would not be here.
We did a podcast together for UFC Fight Pass last week. So I know he's alive. I saw him on TV on Saturday. So I know he's alive.
He's alive.
He texted me on Sunday.
I know.
So I know he's alive.
He sent me, though, this Airbnb he's staying in because it's really cool.
Yeah.
So if we had to, like, figure out where he's at, I do know where he's staying.
Like a wellness check, you mean?
Yeah, if we have to.
Yeah.
I know where it's at.
C-Cat is back from Puerto Rico. He is dressed like someone who just got back from Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. I think I might go one button less every single segment. We'll see how that goes with the shirt.
Do it. Lose two more, three more buttons, and you start looking like Theo on a normal day.
Yes, yes.
You know, Theo wears no buttons with his chains mm-hmm. and his shirt wide open.
Yeah, anyone listening or watching on YouTube, if you've got, you know, stray Hawaiian shirts you're trying to get rid of, I'll rock them on the show. I will do that. If you're just trying to throw them out in the garbage, but don't do that. Give them to me. I'll take them.
What if they give you a loaner? Will you wear people's Hawaiian shirts just as a loan on the show and then give them a shout out, like on the air?
And then give it back afterwards?
Were you like, hey, today's shirt is from Harry James. Mr. James is in Wellington, and his handle on Twitter is at HarryJ417-9214.
It'll be 1 year lease. I'll give it back after the year. I'm trying to reinvent my style.
That ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work.
You just want to wear Hawaiian shirts every day?
Yeah, I kind of like how I feel wearing this today.
You like how you feel? You like how you look, or you like how you feel?
Both. How I look is good enough.
Are you becoming Hawaiian shirt fat guy?
I'm Hawaiian shirt. I will become fat guy.
Are you becoming Hawaiian shirt fat guy?
Because I guess stage one is complete. I am Hawaiian shirt guy, and the fat will come in the coming months.
When you get comfortable in the Hawaiian shirt thing, a lot of times that's resigning. That's waving the flag. That's throwing
like
in the
Stanley
towel.
Like Stanley in The Office.
That's it's saying, "I it's okay. I embrace it. I go ahead. I give up. I'm going ahead to accept my Hawaiian shirt fat guyness."
I got a little tum tum. That's really it, though.
Little tum tum.
Yeah, just a little belly.
You're such a goof. Speaking of gambling scandals, this one is potentially way more explosive than the Shohei Ohtani situation, because this is significantly problematic for not just the player, not just the team, and not just the league, but for legal sports books around the nation and all parties involved. This is worst case scenario. Tina, do you want to explain this story, or do you want me to?
I would really like you to, as you heard me during the break, just struggle trying to explain it and make sense.
But you know the gist of it.
I get it when I read the article.
Yep.
But then when I try to use words to talk about it, I can't. They don't make sense.
I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation, according to ESPN.com. He's under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of what they deem betting irregularities over the last several months. This according to multiple sources reporting to ESPN yesterday. At issue, the story continues, prop bets. You know what a prop bet is? Over under points made by that person.
Okay.
Over under rebounds made by that person. Total points, assists, and rebounds by that person. There's a number over under that number. Okay? So at issue are prop bets involving Mr. Porter. The games were on January 26th and March 20th. Multiple sources have informed ESPN. An NBA spokesman told ESPN that the league is, quote, looking into it. At question, the January 26th game against the Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Mr. Porter's prop plays, which for the night were 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. Let me explain to the people that don't know. This means that you could have bet that Jonte Porter in that game had over or under the amount listed. So if you thought, you know what, 5.5 points, he's going to get that many or more, you would bet the over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you thought, I don't think he's going to even score 5 points, you could bet the under. Again, we're looking at betting irregularities, meaning increased betting interest. He is not a star player. This is not a national game. This is not a Caitlin Clark situation where there would be increased betting. This is not a Steph Curry situation like tonight against the Heat. This is a two-way player contract guy at $400,000 who's on a team in the league who's got some props listed as a role player. When you have irregularities, Tina, it means that suddenly there's a lot more interest in a play than there normally is. Or there's a lot more interest in a play, not just number of people betting it, but also the amount of money coming in.
Got it.
If there are substantial wagers being fired at once, say a couple people were like, I know for a fact he's not even going to play for long. When your clock says 12:08, you go ahead and hit enter on this bet. That way we both get the same line. I'm betting 50,000. You're betting 50,000. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The clock set. hit it. Doesn't matter where you are in the country. Everyone's phone gets the same exact time on it, right? Betting irregularities indicate that it is not normal action, that there is not normal amount of wager, normal interest, normal dollars being spent. You understand what I'm saying?
Understand.
That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game. Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury that he suffered 4 days earlier. Porter did not score against the Clippers, but had 3 rebounds and 1 assist. And he did not attempt a three, meaning that the under hit on all of those props.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence? Sure. Why not?
His eye was a guy who sucks, irritated.
Maybe. A guy with an eye injury, absolutely. We get it.
It happens.
The next day is part of a daily report to users on betting results. DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on three-pointers was the biggest money play for bettors anywhere in the nation that night.
Oh.
So if anything that anyone in America had won money on, the thing that everybody won on was on that. And the most money in profit versus. That's a random prop,
exactly.
Don't you think?
It's so specific and so random that something is smelly.
It's... I've never heard the expression before.
What the hell
smelling?
Did you
something
say?
Stinks. It's the same thing.
I've heard the expression that something smells fishy or something seems yes. fishy. I've never ever heard someone say something is smelly.
Smelly.
Okay, I'll fix my dialect for you next.
What
show.
The hell?
No,
like
don't
it.
Fix
like
it. Be you.
Yeah,
be
I like
you.
It.
Don't fix it for me. But say it one more time for me.
Something smelly.
Something smelly.
Smelly.
Something smelly. On March 20th against the Sacramento Kings, the story continues. Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting because of the Raptors said was an illness, and he did not return. He did not score after attempting one shot, and he had 2 rebounds. Sportsbooks had his over-unders at 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. The next day, the aforementioned DraftKings Sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. Meaning, again, for a second time...
Something smelly.
It's not that the unders hit. It's that there are betting irregularities. Mm-hmm. There's way more interest in this prop than there should be, than there normally is. There's way more money coming in than there normally is. Tina, do you know why you don't do these on the over? Do you know why you don't do these? Why if you're going to, say you're going to rig it... Say that you're going to bet on yourself. Why would you not do it on the overs for points, rebounds, etc.?
Because you don't know if you'll get that.
Because you
many
can't
points.
Control that.
Yeah, you don't know if you're going to score 8 points or get that many
right.
rebounds or
point
assists.
Point shaving means taking off. Mm-hmm. Shaving, point shaving, is a team thing in which you make sure that you don't. You got to be the favorite team,
mm-hmm.
and you make sure that you don't win enough to cover the spread,
mm-hmm.
right? It can't be the underdog team that's trying like hell to win outright. You understand?
Yeah.
You can control the under because if you go into a game and, I mean, Aaron Rodgers played 4 plays. People lost all kinds of money
yeah.
on touchdown passes, yards for the game, yards for the season, you name it. If you enter the game and play for a moment, a second, it counts. And if you leave with illness, it counts. And if you leave with eye or injury, it counts. The action being on the under is a problem. This does not affect the outcome of the game. This is not a team trying to lose mm-hmm. or a team making sure they don't win by too much. This is potentially explosive because this can happen nightly in every single sport by every single player who's participating who can see to it that they don't get that third three-pointer, that they don't get that sixth rebound, that they don't get that whatever that thing is. You can't guarantee that you will get over the number, but you can damn guarantee that you stay under.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is an enormous freaking problem. We'll get more on this as we continue because we've got word from Woj and from Tim Legler about the realities of this situation. An investigation has begun, as you might imagine, but it does not look good from early analysis of why so many people were so eager to bet so much money on a random player and these random plays and these random games, and it was of anything and everything that the people could have won on those two nights, the most profitable for the people. That tells you a whole lot. Coming up, though, when we come back, the most infamous and controversial figure, speaking of sports betting, in sports betting scandal history speaks. You got to hear what he had to say. Right now, though, I want to hear what Tina's got to say. Actually, no, Tina already told us, didn't she?
I've told you a lot.
Yeah, she already did. So I'm going to tell you instead myself about St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the home of honest, reliable service since 1970. If you need batteries for vehicles, they're your one stop. And I don't just mean cars and trucks and SUVs. People have golf carts. They got side-by-sides. They got ATVs. Yeah, they got your batteries for all that. Oil changes. They can do them faster and cheaper. People say, well, JC, how's it work? Why cheaper than the dealership where you got your vehicle? Well, because of the cost of hourly labor. Have you seen what that is recently? Get in and get out faster and cheaper for oil changes at St. Lucie Battery and Tire. Get in and get out for tires, for major or minor service, repair, all of it. Family-owned, family-operated. Makes a difference. They're a great family-owned business. That's integrity. It's saying what you mean and meaning what you say and taking care of people. 17 locations, West Palm to the Treasure Coast, tells you the American dream is alive and well. And if you love America and what it stands for, you're damn right you'll be doing business with St. Lucie Battery and Tire. SLBT.com. St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the home of honest, reliable service since 1970. The home team on ESPN 106.3.